Are we on? Yes. Thank you. I think I'm going to start with praying. I just sense someone restlessness. So, Father, you sent Jesus, and you call him Prince of Peace. Father, I pray for the peace that only Jesus can bring. I pray for our hearts and our minds to be settled on you. Father, we extend our hearts and we receive that peace right now. We appropriate it, for you give it to us freely. The world cannot give it, only you can. And Lord, as your children, we receive your peace now. And we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I was really delighted to hear last week's sermon teaching. And Michelle did a wonderful job exhorting us to hold the line. 2 weeks ago, we started delving into the issue of spiritual warfare. We talked a little bit about it. Oh, I need my remote. I need the mic too. Whatever Matthew had is contagious. Lord, I thank you for your peace in Jesus' name. So, 2 Sundays ago, we were talking about warfare. We started with a scripture in Joel chapter 3, starting with verse 9. It says, proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war. Wake up the mighty man, let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Whoops. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. And we talked about the fact that we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We established that with a lot of scriptures. And that not only are we soldiers, but we are right now, and we have been and will be till Jesus comes back. We are in warfare, whether we know it or not. Warfare is ongoing in the spirit realm, constantly. We don't see it with our natural eyes. We can sense it. In fact, this is why we pray, because we know there's warfare. There are distractions that the enemy wants to bring. There are feelings that even affect us in the way that we can receive and interact with one another. And we have to be alert because the warfare is ongoing. So, warfare is going on. And 2 Sundays ago, I made a declaration that we in this house, we are preparing for what I call D-Day. And I explained that what that was. But we are approaching a time where warfare is really coming alive in a very significant way. Oh, by the way, I want to let you know that I forgot my hearing aid, so at least you can hear my voice, but I can't hear yours very well. So, just...
She said you're lost without Pastor Asian.
Well, I won't comment on that one. I don't want to get in more deep waters. So, as we prepare for what we are supposed to be ready already, we talked about the mission that our commander has given us. We went to in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, and we read some of the scriptures. Some of it was Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So whether you experience or feel them or see them or not, we are on an ongoing warfare. And it continues in Ephesians 6, saying to us, therefore, and this is to you and to me, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the next word in the next verse says praying. And we talked about prayer. We talked about certain kinds of prayers, types of prayer mentioned in Scripture. This is not all inclusive, but it includes the main ones. We mentioned prayer of consecration, prayer of forgiveness and release, prayer of agreement, prayer of declaration or prayer of authority, prayer of petition or supplication, the prayer of faith, the prayer of binding and loosing, and the prayer of intercession. Now, 2 weeks ago, as I was teaching this, I made a comment at that time that I need to retract. I said that prayers have to be spoken. And I also said that a prayer that is just thought is no good until you speak it. I stand corrected on that particular comment. Now, maybe I was so focused on the area of warfare, but then again, that this has been my way of thinking for a very long time, since I am a Christian. And so finally somebody brought it to my attention, and I looked it up in Scripture, and I stand corrected, and I stood corrected. I appreciate that when I say something that it doesn't ring with your spirit, that you come to me and say, let's talk about this. And this person and I did, and they expressed their view. I looked it up in Scripture, and I am corrected, and I appreciate that because I want to grow. Now, there are prayers directed at circumstances. There are prayers directed at the demons and the enemy. When you fight the enemy, I recommend that you use prayer and you use words spoken, because the enemy cannot read your thoughts. Okay, God can read your thoughts, but the enemy is not God. He's limited. Now, he is as bad as he is old. And so because he's been around people since the beginning, he knows what we tend to do. And so he figures what you're thinking, and he puts thoughts to add up what he pretty well knows you're thinking. And so, but he can't really read your thoughts and know what you're thinking. He can guess it, but not know it for sure. And in my book, in my understanding, and the way I approach this area, in the issue of warfare, especially offensive warfare, prayer should be spoken, not just thought. Now, you can think of the strategy, you can think of a lot of things between you and the Lord, But when it comes time to fight the enemy, he responds to words. This is what Jesus did when he confronted when the enemy tempted him. Jesus always said, "It is written." And so he spoke. He was talking to the enemy because the enemy could not read his thoughts. Understood? So, when you want circumstances to change, when you want your enemy to back off, I highly recommend for you to speak words, declare them to the circumstance or to the enemy. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain and believe in your heart with no doubt, that mountain has to move. So, in my ignorance and zeal, I was thinking on warfare, and I made a comment that was too general, all-inclusive, and I didn't specify. So I apologize for that. God knows the thoughts of our hearts, and God is not limited to speech or to words only. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul is giving praise to the Lord. He says, now unto him, that is God, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So Paul is saying here, God will do to us more than we can even think. So we can think of something good, and God said, hey, I'm going to top that. You necessarily didn't ask a petition, or maybe you did. But he says, I'm going to do something even greater than that. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul talked to the Philippians and said, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So, meditation is also communication with the Father. And, of course, he is bringing the point that as you meditate, you're renewing your mind. You are thinking on the Word, you're musing, you're ruminating like the cows do when they eat food during the day. It goes to some part, and in the evening when they lay down, they bring that up and chew it over and over again so that they get the most out of the benefit of the food. That's what meditation does with the Word of God. We can hear a word. We say, oh, that's good. We need to go back later on at a calm time and meditate on those scriptures so that they get into our spirit and we get the full benefit of what scripture has to say to us. Let's see, where are we? So, God will hear your prayers. In my preference, I like to speak to him with my own voice. And Jesus said, when you go into your closet, you close your door. You know, if I was going to just think, I didn't need to go into the closet, right? I'd stay wherever I was, and I thought. But he said, go into your closet and speak to him in secret. So I like to do that all the time. But that doesn't mean that God will not hear your thoughts, your praying thoughts. Now, today, we're going to continue with the subject of this spiritual warfare, and the emphasis that we started last time was prayer. We saw in Ephesians chapter 6 some directives from our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 6:10, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Right? In Ephesians 11, he said, how are you going to be strong? Well, you have to put on the armor, the full armor of God, so that you can withstand in the evil day. And the evil day is today. It's always today. And then in verse 18, he tells us how to execute that warfare. He says, praying in the Spirit. And we looked at those scriptures in a little detail last time. And today, in the subject of prayer, I want to speak on a particular subject. It is called praying in tongues, also referred to as praying in the Spirit, according to Scripture. I know that some of you feel very uncomfortable with this subject. It's sort of controversial to you. And even some of you try to stay away as much as you can from this subject. However, we talk about covenants. And we talked about the covenant that we have with Jesus Christ as we have become Christians. And we made a covenant with the Lord. And we made some promises to him, and he made us very many promises and made us available, made promises available to us. And tongues is part of that covenant of salvation that Jesus brought to us. And on a personal note, it is, in my estimation, one of the most powerful weapons available to Christians to fight the enemy and to help us to petition the Lord properly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. In our fight, if we fight this spiritual warfare, it is a fight in the Spirit, and therefore we need spiritual weapons. I know we're used to doing things out of the strength of our flesh, of the knowledge of our brains, but we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting principalities, powers, rulers, and demonic forces. These are spiritual beings, and we have to have spiritual weapons to fight these spiritual forces. The Holy Spirit enables the Christian to flow in the spiritual gifts, especially in the aspect of prayer. Now, there's a scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Paul talking to the Romans, he said, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This word declares that we do not know how to pray as we should on our own understanding. We're limited. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, knows exactly what we need to pray for and how we need to pray it so that it will be according to the will of God. In other words, when we allow the Holy Spirit to help us pray, we pray God's perfect will. And that's awesome. I know that this issue of tongues has been fought by the enemy since the instant, the beginning of it. Since the day of Pentecost, when this gift was manifested, immediately the devil used people to say, oh, those people are crazy, they're just drunk. And the fight has been going on throughout the ages. And many people said, that can't be God, I just won't get into it. And the church has not been fully matured. And this is one of the reasons. We're not believing God. We're choosing our own understanding. We like to feel stuff. And you can't feel this stuff. You can invent this stuff. Well, some people try. But it's not the real thing. And so there has been controversy. And there has been even divisions in the church because of this subject. So I'm not going to say here what I think. We're going to look at scripture. Because that's the final authority. Men think all kinds of things. And there's all kinds of doctrines. And if you like one doctrine, I'm sure you can find a place that you can find some buddies that will think the same way you think. But the question is that what the word has to say? And that is our final authority. And that's what we want to stay with. So I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 because, and let me preface it with the situation that happened in Corinth. The church in Corinth was a very alive church. The Holy Spirit was manifesting every kind of gift. And the people were flowing in the gifts of the Spirit openly and greatly. And God was doing great things. But it got to the point that people began to do excess. And it began to become fleshly. And the Apostle Paul went to Corinth. Well, he wrote to the Corinthians this letter. And say, he started saying, you lack no gift. Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians talks about, you lack no gift. God is blessing you, and you have received it, and you're flowing in it. However, there has to be some order established to operate these things properly. Because their flesh has gotten involved. And you see, Paul's desire was for people to grow. And he said, when you come together, I want people to be edified, built up. That was his main goal. And so 1 Corinthians 14 talks a lot about tongues. And I will explain why. But it makes a difference between tongues for personal worship, for personal communion with God, and prophecy, which edifies the whole body. And so he is contrasting the one and the other gift to show how is it properly used. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, Paul tells the Corinthians, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So Paul is saying here that when you pray in tongues, you're not speaking to men. You're not speaking to one another. You are having a conversation with God. And your conversation is assisted by the Holy Spirit in you. To us, the prayer in tongues is a mystery because we do not understand what we're praying. But it is not a mystery to God. He is receiving that heavenly language, and he is understanding what the Spirit is helping you to communicate to God. Now, verse 4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Now, Paul brings that contrast because his main desire is for people to be edified, to be built up, to be strengthened. And so he said, when you come together, let's think more about edification of the body than personal edification individually. And so if I am speaking in tongues and nobody understands it, the only one benefited from that is you. He says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. You mean when I'm praying something that I don't understand with my brain, I'm still being built up in my spirit? That's what the scripture is saying. When you are praying in tongues, your spirit is being built up, is being strengthened, is being edified. In fact, Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote this. In chapter 1, Jude has only one chapter. Verse 20, it says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. He said that you build your spirit with holy faith when you pray in the Holy Spirit. That means when you pray in tongues. So he who prays in a tongue edifies himself. Then you jump to verse 1 Corinthians 14, down to verse 14. Paul has another nugget here. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. When we pray in tongues, our spirit man, the real you, aided by the Holy Spirit in us, prays. It is not a mental prayer. It is not a prayer origin in our soul, but actually is a prayer directed by the Holy Spirit to our spirit, and then from our spirit to our mouths, bypassing our mind and our soul. That's why it doesn't make sense to us or anybody else. It sounds like something foreign, and it is. When you pray in your native language, the Holy Spirit can give you the words to pray, but usually your mind can get involved in that prayer. Your feelings and your emotions can add to or delete from what the Spirit is directing you to pray and petition to God and sort of mess things up. Well, I feel that I should pray this. Well, when you're addressing God, you know, he responds to his word. God is not moved by feelings. He's moved by faith. And faith comes by hearing and acting on the word. Now, the other half brother of Jesus, namely James, wrote in the letter to James, chapter 4, verse 3, he was talking about prayer as well. And he says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. You know, sometimes we may be asking the Lord in prayer things from God that are not part of his will for us. our souls get involved, and our carnal nature can interject carnal desires that are really against God's will. James says that we will not receive because we're not asking for the right things. And this is why we were sent another comforter, the Holy Spirit, to help us pray, according to Romans 8, 26 and 27, as we read. But when we petition the Lord in tongues, the Holy Spirit leads us in the petition according to the will of God for us, as we read. We cannot go wrong with this type of prayer. We cannot mess it up. The only way to mess it up is not doing it, which a lot of us are not. Most of us pray based on our knowledge of what we are petitioning the Lord. We ask the Father in Jesus' name about stuff, but we don't know the full extent of it. And in the natural, our knowledge is very limited. But the Holy Spirit knows it all. He is God. Praying in tongues bypasses our knowledge because the Holy Spirit gives us the right petition to make without us even knowing exactly what we need. Most of the time, we don't know what we need. We know what we want, but we don't know what we need. But the Spirit does. So praying in tongues is a perfect Spirit-led prayer according to the will of God every time. Now, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the writing to the Corinthians, he says he has one conclusion to the subject of prayer, as he has been addressing. In verse 15 of Corinthians 14, he says, what is the conclusion then? I mean, we have prophesying that edifies everybody, and we have tongues that edifies the individual. So what do I do? He answered that. He says, I will pray with the Spirit. In other words, I'll pray in tongues. And I will also pray with the understanding in my natural language. I will sing with the Spirit. And I will also sing with the understanding. We need to pray both ways. Maybe I should have started saying, we need to pray. We need to pray in our natural languages, and we need to pray in the Spirit. We need to pray in tongues. Now, let me get a little practical here. I know that some of you are looking at me like a calf in a new barn. Like a fish in a refrigerator with eyes open, can't see anything. Have you heard me pray in tongues out loud in the church? Maybe one or two of you, maybe once. I don't have a habit of doing that out loud. Why? Because the scripture said, when you are praying in the Spirit, when you are praying in tongues, you're not speaking to men. You're speaking to God. You have no business what I'm speaking to God about. Besides, not even I understand it, much less you. So why bother with volume? Now, I know there are some extremists that like to be attention callers. And people think that I am more spiritual when I speak in tongues, so I'm going to flunk that gift. That's pride. That's arrogance. That's deception. Listen, in the New Testament, there are three or four cases where people that were just born again got filled with the Spirit and began to speak in tongues. They were not any more spiritual than somebody that had been born again for a year or so. They just got into the kingdom. Gifts are not a sign of spirituality. Gifts are a sign of you yielding to the Holy Spirit. And you can stay in a church 50 years and not yield to the Holy Spirit at all. Or you can be just born again and yield to the Spirit immediately. Gifts are given. So if you have the ability to receive, you can flow in those if you have faith. So, when I am praying in tongues, when I am praying personally with my Father, I'm not praying for you to hear me. Now, you might catch wind of what I'm mumbling here to myself. Well, what it looks like to myself, I'm addressing my Father. But I'm not praying for you to hear me. I try to pray daily, anywhere from 30 minutes to several hours in tongues, if I can, when I am alone. I love to pray in tongues when I am working, and I do a lot of that, especially when I'm in my mowing, with my mower, my riding mower, mowing the church, mowing my house, mowing somebody else's yard. There's a lot of time spent mowing, hours. I don't have to be thinking with my mind what I'm praying. I just allow the Spirit to give me words to say, and it bypasses my mind. And in my mind, I'm trying to stay straight on the cut, and yet my spirit is giving my mouth words to speak. And I believe that I am praying for many, many of you when I am doing that. See, I am interceding to the Father in your behalf. I don't know that for sure, but I have an inkling that that's what I'm doing. My spirit focuses on praying the perfect will of God, while my mind takes care of the mowing done rightly. And at the same time, my spirit is being built up, edified on my most holy faith, according to Jude 20. And yet, here as a gathering, you hear me praying in English every Sunday and Wednesday. Why? Because I want you to hear my prayer, understand it, and agree with me in that prayer. Every Wednesday night before the teaching on Wednesday, I ask for prayer requests. That's with my understanding, so I know what you need, and I can pray according to the will of God regarding that need that you let me know. This principle of the kingdom is called the prayer of agreement. And Jesus taught on it. In Matthew 18:19, he said, "Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." So when we are gathered as a body, if there is a need, let it be known. We all agree on it. And he says, if two of us agree, what are the chances that two of us will agree on the prayer that we're doing? And he says, it will be done. No, it may be, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. But when I am praying for you, I really don't know what you really need. And I rely on the Spirit of God to help me. So I pray in tongues. Musicians, you can come. We are going to continue on this subject next time. I'm going to give you some time this week. I hope that these messages on Sunday are not something that make you feel good and then you forget about it by Wednesday. Remember, this series talk about spiritual warfare. That's an ongoing thing. It is called spiritual because it's not necessarily in the natural. The origin is spiritual, and we have to fight it with spiritual weapons. So we will continue on this subject next time. But I want to say this to you. Just as somebody had the strength and the determination to come to me and ask me a question and question my teaching on the subject of praying with their mind. See, I was wrong in what I did, what I said, and I was corrected, and I'm the better for it now. And I pray that that person feels great that I was corrected properly. So I'm saying to you this, because if you have questions, if you have doubts, even if you have disagreements about this subject of praying in tongues, let's get together. Call me, text me, find the scriptures that you have questions on or disagree or have a different input. I want to grow. If you have a revelation different from this one, I want to hear it. Don't just stay quiet and ignore it like it didn't happen. It is in scripture. So if I misunderstand it, then please set me straight. I'm not too proud to receive correction and instruction. But for now, let's continue giving glory to the Lord in worship. Let's stand and worship the Lord together.